You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, it is Locked On College Football. He is Kevin McGuire. I'm Matt Moscona, and glad you are with us here. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. It's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing way better than anybody associated with Tennessee athletics right now. Let's just start there. We'll delve into everything else, like Nick Saban hiring NFL head coaches as position coaches and LSU screwing up every hire ever. But let's start with what in the world is going on in Tennessee. You start. You just start. Go.
So basically, Tennessee is very sloppy with cheating.
Yeah.
That's what it all comes down to, right? Yeah,
You should have said greasy, like grease from the fries inside the McDonald's bag on the dollar bills.
Yeah, first of all, can we just talk about that real quick? Because if you're going to place dollar bills in a fast food bag, you better be wrapping it in napkins or something. How many napkins? I need to know these questions. Do you insulate it with the little ketchup packets? What's the deal there?
God, I mean, the whole thing with Tennessee is I don't know what you're feeling. My initial feeling when I saw this was I can't remember a time where a team investigated itself over a recruit it didn't get to fire a coach and his entire staff with cause. My feeling, Kevin, was they were done with Jeremy Pruitt. They knew they were going to owe him $12 million. This is a good way to go. Wipe your hands financially, not have to owe him a $12 million buyout and move on because they probably have an idea of who they want to be the next guy.
Yeah, it's an excellent observation. And I get the same kind of sense because, you know, this season did not go particularly well for Jeremy Pruitt. The fact that we got into this late in January and he had yet been fired suggested that there was a possibility he was going to be coming back for another year until this, of course, breaks out and you find out that you have justification for firing somebody with cause. And, you know, it's not very often that that happens. So this is pretty notable, and it's going to be very curious to see what happens now with the NCAA. How involved does the NCAA get with Tennessee? Because, you know, this could just be the beginning for whatever's going to happen with Tennessee. But you're right. I think it's going to be a very interesting time to make a head coaching hire, but obviously that's the situation that Tennessee is in right now. I'll be very curious to see where they go from here. And I guess one of the questions that I'll come back to, you know, we don't need to dig into it too much in today's episode, but, you know, what is the job at Tennessee like now compared? Because it's not what it was once before, but is there still potential there for it to be a really good coaching job? I tend to say yes, but it has been a while since we've been able to back that up with evidence on the field.
I think Tennessee and Nebraska are akin. They're historic programs that have won a lot of titles, that have great resources because of their history, their fan base, the conference association, the revenue invested. But what was once an advantage for them, their notoriety, their championships, their ability to be on TV, that's all been neutralized because everybody's on TV now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's investing resources. Everybody's paying coaches seven figures. And the detriment in Tennessee, like in Nebraska, is you don't have a built-in recruiting base in state. You've got to recruit nationally. It's also what's hindered Notre Dame over the years. Now, Brian Kelly has won at an elite level, played for a couple of championships, but it's also why they haven't really been able to get back to the pinnacle. It's why, you know, schools in the Sun Belt, not the Sun Belt Conference, but in the Southeast,
right,
tend to dominate because there's so many players here, like in Pennsylvania, like in California, Texas. I mean, you have that built-in recruiting base in state that isn't there in Tennessee. So, you know, listen, since they fired Phil Fulmer, they had Lane Kiffin for a year. They had Derek Dooley, who went 15-21. Jim Chaney was an interim for a game. Butch Jones was 34-27 in his 51 games. Brady Hoke was the interim for two games, went 0-2.
And then, I forgot about Brady
Hoke. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then Jeremy Pruitt now was a 16-19. So, you know, they've gone a decade and Kevin, like, this is the wrong decade to be unstable because we've seen the biggest evolution in the sport in the last decade, where a team like Coastal Carolina can make a legit play to be in a New Year's Six. Everybody can be competitive now. And so Tennessee's got to have someone who desperately wants that job and wants to be great. It's what Nebraska thinks they have with Scott Frost. And they haven't been able to execute it yet, but that's who Tennessee needs to find their Scott Frost.
Is it Peyton Manning? Can we just get that out of the way right now? Okay, I want to make sure that we at least address it and move on from that.
Why would Peyton Manning and his $100 million net worth, why would he want to go coach Tennessee football and recruit and deal with boosters? No. You know, who it may be is Jamie Chadwell. He's from Coastal Carolina. He's a guy from the state of Tennessee who that may be his dream spot. Like, he may be content to be there for 20 years if he could stay and win, much like Phil Fulmer did. You know, that might be the route they go, or maybe it's Hugh Freeze, which is actually the hire I would make if I were whoever the next Tennessee athletic director is. But can you justify hiring a guy who's had misgivings with the NCAA after firing a coach for misgivings with the NCAA?
Yeah, that's why I still think that it's going to take a little bit more time for Hugh Freeze to get one of those kinds of jobs. Once again, like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see where Tennessee goes from here, because there's a little bit of a cloud of uncertainty around this program right now. Because like I said, you know, we don't know what the NCAA is going to have to say about any of this moving forward, how that may impact the job search or the pool of potential candidates. And again, this is also just a weird time to be making a coaching hire in general, because the coaching carousel for college has pretty much come to a close, unless anything happens with these NFL coaching jobs that are, you know, already filling up. So it doesn't look like there's going to be a whole lot of movement there. So where Tennessee goes from here, I think, is something that we're all going to be paying attention to. But I think we're all doing so with the understanding that whoever they hire is not going to restore Tennessee to the top of the SEC, let alone the national championship picture.
So one other quick note on Tennessee. Their leading tackler, Henry To'o, one of their top linebacker recruits, Kavarius Crouch, their running back, Eric Gray, offensive lineman, Jameer Johnson, and their top signee of this most recent class have transferred, and their top signee once out of his letter of intent. The exodus is on. If I had to make a prediction in talking to some people around Tennessee, they're going to hire an athletic director before they hire a coach. And I think that we did see, remember, Bob Stoops retire shortly before the season. They elevated Lincoln Riley. I think we may see Kevin Steele have an interim year in 2021. They just give themselves a year to let things settle and then make a hire in the next cycle. I don't know that right now it's the time, like for the reasons you mentioned, that they want to be hiring a coach. So if I had to guess, they'll get an AD in place. They'll let Kevin Steele, who, by the way, Kevin Steele played at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He's a Tennessee alum, played football there. So maybe do one for Old State U, and then, you know, right off into retirement, and then hire your coach next year.
And I think that's a perfectly acceptable way to go, because I always feel like you want to have your AD in place who's going to make the decision on who that next head coach is going to be. Otherwise, you just go into a little bit of a messy situation. Who knows what's going to happen? So, Tennessee, best of luck to you.
Never a good solution with Tennessee, but there's always a good solution if you're a do-it-yourselfer, if you love to tinker on your automobile, if you love to restore old vehicles, or because of COVID, you just don't feel like leaving your house to go pick up motor oil or windshield wipers or anything like that. It's rockauto.com.
Yes, rockauto.com is the website that I go to anytime I need something for my car, because not only is it quick and easy and so straightforward to navigate, I can find exactly what I need for my particular car, and you can do the same. Go to rockauto.com and the make and model of your car. It brings you the entire catalog of everything they have available to you. And again, they're going to give you the best prices available. This is a family business. There's a reason they've been doing this for 20 years. It's because they know how to serve the customers online. And that's why I keep going back to Rock Auto, and you should too. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
2020 is mercifully over. Time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year, you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. He's Kevin. I'm Matt. We talked about Tennessee being a dumpster fire. Why not let's just stay in the SEC, because that's apparently where all the freaking drama is right now. Outside looking in, you have a perspective on LSU's inability to hire a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, what's the deal? Why can't they do it? Certainly, obviously they made the big splash when they got Bo Pelini to come back, and define big splash however you want. It felt like a ideal situation given the circumstances at the point, and obviously didn't work out. And now, for whatever reason, LSU of all programs just can't land this defense coordinator. It looks like they had one. I guess the contract with the New Orleans Saints gets in the way. I'm sure you can explain it better to me than anybody else.
So I'll give you sort of the Cliffs notes. Ryan Nielsen played defensive line at Southern Cal when Ed Ogeron was an assistant there. He was also a GA under Ogeron there. Was Ogeron's defensive line coach at Ole Miss when Ogeron was there. He's been the defensive line coach with the New Orleans Saints and is thought by many to be a star. And he's also a dynamic recruiter, a guy who had been at Maryland, NC State, and Georgia Tech, some other places, and really thought his path to being a head coach was in college football. And so Ogeron was offering him this opportunity, and apparently they forgot to do one thing, which is request permission to speak to Ryan Nielsen when they went and consummated this deal. There's a lot of talk about the Saints' contractual right to block the hire, which they have, which, by the way, I have no problem with. I mean, contracts are made with those stipulations for a reason. I mean, I work in radio, and it's very common in radio that we have non-compete clauses where you can't go to a competing station in the same market right away. That's commonplace, and it is in coaching too, where a lot of times you're restricted on where you might be able to jump, and people put those clauses in place to offer protection, and the Saints exercise that. But Kevin, I don't think it had to be this way. If LSU had just done their due diligence and gone to Sean Payton and said, we'd like to talk to Ryan Nielsen, I think Sean grants that, and he's the LSU defensive coordinator. But because they didn't offer that simple courtesy of a call, and the day after the Saints season ends, the defensive line coach walks into the head coach's office and says, deuces, I'm going to Baton Rouge. Sean Payton, who's known to be kind of petty, flipped him the double bird and said, hell you are. Right, now, the other part of that that's a problem is, well, now you have a disgruntled employee. So they gave Ryan Nielsen a raise and the associate head coach title and all that stuff to pacify him. But, man, LSU started with a list of six. They've gone through that entire list. They still don't have a coordinator. I have no idea where they go next. And, Kevin, this is massive because you're talking about a team that a year ago was the national championship, polishing off the most dominant season we've ever seen. And they're going into 2021, returning a lot of talent. But they're coming off literally the worst defensive year in the history of the program. If they don't get that right and they go 6-6, 7-5 next year, it's Ed Ogeron we're talking about replacing next year at this time.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we kind of saw with some of the programs out there that were making so many staff changes but keeping their head coaches. Ed Ogeron, obviously won the national championship. That buys you some leeway, I think, at least as far as a grace period is concerned. Just a little bit.
Brother, he used it all up this year.
I think so.
You don't go 5-5 with the worst defense in the history of the program and get any more leeway than that, man. It's every bit of goodwill he built up in 2019 is gone. And the narrative here is, was this just the Joe Burrow effect? Is Ed Ogeron just Gene Chizik or Larry Coker that had that one amazing roster and couldn't maintain it after that? I mean, that's the narrative around here right now.
I think it's a fair question to ask, given the evidence that we've seen over under LSU with Ed Ogeron. Let me ask you this. Is there any friction between LSU and the Saints historically? Is this something that's been popped up before? I'm asking you because I know you're the resident expert here in this category.
It's so weird, man. Fans of both always wonder why the Saints don't draft LSU players because they think the Saints hate LSU. And I'm like, it's so hard to explain that, you're in Pennsylvania. The Steelers don't always draft Penn State guys as much as you or the Eagles, right? It just doesn't always work out that way. There has to be a player available at a position of need at the point in the draft where you need that caliber player at that position. It just doesn't always work out that way. But so that's caused sort of this fan narrative. But, man, Ed Ogeron was on Sean Payton's staff when he got let go, when the USC staff turned over, when I was with Lane Kiffin. He went to the Saints for a year before coming to LSU. So, man, I just it's bizarre. This just feels like it could have been totally unavoidable and could have massive ramifications if they swing and miss on whoever is the defensive coordinator. But the flip side of it is you're in a division with Alabama where Nick Saban won a national title and now has NFL head coaches on his staff as position coaches. Like, Doug Marrone is the offensive line coach at Alabama. This is just stupid. It's just not even fair for the rest of college football.
Well, a whole lot of things that Alabama does is not fair to the rest of college football, but it is remarkable the way that Alabama, given where they are in the world of college football, the way that they just attract any coach that has just been let go, is in need to kind of regroup a little bit with their identity. They go to Alabama, spend 2 years there. All of a sudden, they're going to be a head coach again somewhere. You know, Doug Marrone, I don't think we have seen the last of Doug Marrone as a head coach either at the college or the NFL level. And on the related terms, you know, we're still waiting for the official word, but Bill O'Brien looks like he's going to be the offensive coordinator at Alabama, replacing Steve Sarkisian, who's off to Texas, of course. Bill O'Brien, most recently with the Houston Texans, previously was the head coach of Penn State. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Bill O'Brien gets to do with that tool chest that he's going to have to work with. But it's remarkable the kind of candidates that Alabama can attract just to be on their staff. Everybody wants to be on Alabama staff if they're looking for work. If you can get on Alabama staff, it's like going to rehab for your coaching career.
I've always called it Nick Saban's home for wayward coaches. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to rehab your coaching career, go to Saban's staff for a year, 2 years, in whatever role. Butch Jones is a head coach again. Butch Jones, the guy who was literally using a trash can as a rallying cry, like the definition of physical irony. Like, what that guy is a head coach again. Just get close to Nick and you're gonna get hired.
Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, Butch Jones. I mean, the list goes on.
Those guys could actually coach. Butch Jones that was holding up trash cans.
Look, he was pretty good at Cincinnati. There's a reason he got the Tennessee job in the first place. But yeah, I hear you.
Despicable, man. Whatever. Nick Saban will win 100 more titles. He's made a deal with the devil. He'll live to be 175. What's that movie, the movie The Green Mile, where Tom Hanks like lives forever and just keeps watching all his old friends die? That's Nick Saban. Nick Saban's going to live for 100 more years. He's going to torture us all. He made a deal with the devil. He's not going to stop at 7 titles. He's going to get to 17 titles, and then he'll die on the field at age 175 in the year 2090 or whatever year that's going to be. I'm just over it.
Nick Saban's going nowhere anywhere soon. So, yeah,
we're just going to have to wait it out. You can bet on that. You can take it to the bank. You can bet on it. There's probably a prop somewhere at betonline.ag. I've used betonline.ag for a decade. Like, that's where I've wagered for 10 years. It's a super secure site. If anybody ever worries about that with betting online, betonline.ag, top of the line security. I never have any problems at all. It's free to create an account. Sign up at betonline.ag. When you create your account, there'll be a cashier where you can deposit money, use your credit card, or you can use Bitcoin if you want. You can deposit money. When you do, use the promo code Locked On, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. So, you know, if you deposit $100, they'll give you $50 free to play with. So if it's the NFL championship games this weekend, if it's college basketball, if it's the NBA, they got futures, they got props, they got live in-game betting. So if you wager on sports, do what I do and have done for 10 years, betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, college football may be over for now, but college basketball is still ongoing. And if you want to get in touch with everything that's going on in your favorite conference, whether it's Big Ten or the SEC, check out the Locked On SEC podcast and Locked On Big Ten podcast. Hey, we've even got a Locked On Big 12 podcast. So make sure you check them all out. Find your favorite conference. Get all up to date on all the college hoops that are going on. And I'm sure there's going to be some good college football talk sprinkled in every now and then. Right, Matt?
Most likely, especially considering spring football is right around the corner. That is going to be interesting to see what spring football looks like. I mean, we did make it through the college football season, so some seem to think that maybe spring will look a little unorthodox. I'm not so sure. I mean, if we made it through this season, now there is a COVID vaccine. The spring semester is happening on college campuses. I think we'll probably see it won't look, of course, completely normal, but it'll be fairly normal. And we're also going to see, in some places, a lot of new faces. In other places, maybe some not so new faces. Winners and losers. This Monday was the deadline for underclassmen to declare for the draft. Now, keep in mind, for seniors, everyone gets an extra year, right? Every senior can have an extra year if they want it. They have until March 1 to decide. So they got some time. But let's look at the underclassmen. some programs, winners and losers, as far as who they lost and who's coming back. Throw out a few in the Big Ten.
Let's start with Indiana, because Indiana is coming off one of the best seasons that they've had in quite some time. I know it didn't end the way that they wanted to with their bowl game, but Indiana had a really fantastic year. Obviously, Michael Penix Jr. coming back is going to be huge. He's coming off an injury, so it's a little bit of something to keep an eye on. But Indiana actually made out pretty well with the early decisions going off to the NFL. They're only losing one real key player, and that's a running back, Stevie Scott. But if there's one thing that I can say about Indiana is they're probably going to have a guy ready to go running the football. They get the wide receivers coming back, which is going to be huge for them and their offense. Ty Freifogel, one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten. I mess up that name every now and then, so just apologize for that. But he really was one of the big reasons why Indiana was so successful this past season, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what he'll do next year. How about Ohio State? It feels like an embarrassment of riches for the Buckeyes, even though they're losing some big names to the NFL draft, as they seem to every year. They're still getting some good guys coming back, and you know that roster is going to be pretty loaded as far as Big Ten is concerned. One of the biggest names, of course, coming back is wide receiver Chris Olave. It's a kind of a recurring theme throughout the Big Ten. There are some big-name wide receivers coming back in 2021. Also, Penn State and Jahad Dotson coming back next year. I mean, those are three of the best wide receivers that we saw in the Big Ten last year, and they're going to be three of the best wide receivers we see in the Big Ten this coming year.
I want to throw a little like in the SEC, the winner would be LSU, quite honestly. I mean, they returned 20 of 22 starters. I mean, they're all five starters on the offensive line, all four starters on the defensive line, all announced they're coming back. It was the complete opposite of what happened a year ago, where everybody went to the draft after they won the championship. But I want to jump over to the Big 12. How about Iowa State? Brock Purdy's back. Breece Hall's back. Charlie Kolar, their tight end, is back. Their senior left tackle, Sean Foster, he's going to take advantage of a second senior year. This might be Matt Campbell's opportunity. Like, it makes a lot of sense why, if you're Matt Campbell this year, why you didn't jump from Ames. And not to say that he's ever going to go anywhere. I mean, eventually somebody's going to lure him away, I feel.
He could be the next Tennessee head coach, for all we know.
Why would you take that job, right?
But
this is the year where, if you're Matt Campbell, you're going, man, I got everybody back. Like, this could be my opportunity to win the Big 12 and get into that New Year's Six. So Iowa State, I think, was a big winner there. On the flip side of it, if you want to look at who lost, it's Alabama. I mean, last year they got Devontae Smith back. They got Najee Harris to come back for a senior year. They got Alex Leatherwood to come back a year ago. This year they lost everybody. Mac Jones, Dylan Moses, Patrick Surtain, Jalen Waddle, Christian Barmore. This is the year where they win a championship and everybody left. So Nick's always Nick, and I get it. And they're going to be favored, and they should be, because they're Alabama. But there is going to be some massive turnover. Georgia as well. I'm curious about Georgia because they get JT Daniels back, and maybe getting that quarterback position figured out is what Georgia needs to push it over the top. But it's going to have to be done in a year where they lose everything else, like Azeez Ojulari left, Tyson Campbell, Eric Stokes. I mean, and then a bunch of seniors like DJ Daniel, Monty Rice, Jermaine Johnson, the great safety Richard LeCount, Malik Herring, their defensive end. I mean, they lose a ton this year, but they finally have their quarterback. So it would stand to reason Bama, Georgia would be favored to win their respective divisions in the SEC next year, but both lose a ton coming into 2021.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Alabama and Georgia losing all that talent that they're going to be sending off to the NFL. I'm sure they're going to be just fine, because like you said, they're probably still the favorites going into next year in their respective divisions. Maybe Georgia's got a battle with Florida still, but I still think that these are two programs that have recruited so well, where you can send that kind of talent off to the NFL. I think you can say the same thing about Ohio State. No matter how many players they're sending off to the NFL, even if they're a year early, it seems as though they're going to be pretty well situated given the level of recruiting that they've been doing for how many years now, especially at Alabama. You say the same about Ohio State since Urban Meyer took over the job back then. These are programs that are going to be well situated, certainly within their conference and certainly as far as national perception is concerned. I don't think anyone's going to be losing too much sleep about what Alabama's going to do. I mean, they might win only 10 games next year. That's probably a worst case scenario is what I'm looking at right now, but yeah, I'm not going to be crying for Alabama anytime soon.
Coaching carousel still spinning. Transfer portal is wide open. We're headed toward the February signing date and spring football to follow. College football is a 12-month-a-year business, and we're going to be here Locked On College Football every single day. He's Kevin. I'm Matt. We're here with you each Thursday and glad to be here. Until next time, Locked On College Football, your team every day.